Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. My guest today is sex worker rights advocate Audacia Ray. Today's episode is live and we will be taking your calls. So give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. But before we start the show, I just want to say happy anniversary to my wonderful, amazing partner. Today is our queer wedding anniversary, and I am spending an hour of it with all of you, my faithful listeners, and with a pretty fantastic guest. But I just wanted to take that moment to do a shout out. Okay, on to the show. Audacia Ray is an activist, writer, blogger, and media maker. She is a former sex worker who was also an executive editor of Spread, an independent magazine by and for sex workers. She is the author of the book Naked on the Internet, Hookups, Downloads, and Cashing In on Internet Sexploration. She is the founder and director of the Red Umbrella Project, where she works to amplify the voices of people involved in the sex industry. Audacia has worked with the International Women's Health Coalition, the Global Network of Sex Work Projects, and activists all over the world to build communication strategies around challenging topics like youth sexual health, sexual rights, HIV, and sex work. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Audacia.
Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start sort of at the beginning. How did you become a sex worker rights advocate and activist?
Well, I basically being in sort of a selfish way. when I became a sex worker, almost 10 years ago, I didn't really know anybody in the business, who was actively doing sex work at the time. And so I started kind of looking around to see how I could meet other sex workers. Not because I wanted to organize any revolution with them, but because I was lonely.
Got it.
So I found, people who were just beginning to create Spread magazine. This is in 2004. And, I signed up right away, mostly because I wanted to meet other sex workers, not because I had any real interest in running a magazine. And then I became an editor and I started to really care about people who were not me. because that's really where it started. It was totally selfish. I really cared about my own mental health and how to survive and thrive within the sex industry. I wanted to learn those skills for myself. And then once I started meeting other people in the sex industry, it was like, oh, this is a whole other thing that I've not thought about. And so it started that way and it has telescoped out from there.
Now, the magazine, I think, was published for 5 years. Is that right?
Yeah. We started working on it in 2004. We published our first issue of the magazine in March 2005, and we published on a quarterly basis until the end of 2010. So, we just recently shut down the magazine, and we actually had the final, like, goodbye party for Spread at the Red Umbrella Diaries this past January. And, it's been really interesting to see the way that people have sort of graduated from Spread and are doing other media projects or activist projects or have totally moved away from dealing with sex worker activism.
So you mentioned the Red Umbrella Diaries, which is part of a bigger thing called the Red Umbrella Project. What is the Red Umbrella Project?
So Red Umbrella Project really grew out of what began for me at Spread, which is that I realized that sex workers can't become a movement without finding our voices and finding a way to communicate our stories both to ourselves in private, to each other in sex worker only spaces, and to the public. And one of the things that happened at Spread is that people started coming to us and asking us to, you know, be on television, to talk on the radio, and to give other people advice about how to do media. And that was not really what we were doing, but we felt like we wanted to respond to that stuff anyway. So it just sort of grew from there. And starting in 2009, I started doing media trainings specifically designed for sex workers. And then in 2010, I started doing the Red Umbrella Diaries, which is a monthly storytelling series in New York where sex workers tell their true stories. And then it started to become clear to me that this was actually a bigger thing and could be a more full-fledged organization.
And so what is involved in some of these media trainings? I mean, the first thing that I thought of was, okay, so that means that you've got to find sex workers who are ready to go on television and say that they're sex workers.
Right.
I mean, is that hard to do in and of itself?
It is really hard to do. And I think that it's an ongoing process. Like a lot of the people who've taken the workshop over the years do not go on television to say they're sex workers. And one of the things that I actually think is the success of the program is that people come being like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to be out and proud. And then they come and they do the training and then they leave and they're like, maybe not such a good idea. Because I don't try to conceal from people the very real harms that can happen in their lives if they do out themselves as sex workers in, you know, newspapers, television, radio. So a lot of people do shy away from it, but we have had some people go on to do more media after the training. And it's been interesting to see the ways that they've negotiated identity issues. And, you know, some of them won't do television, but will do radio, or, you know, will do print interviews, but won't meet the journalist in person. And, you know, there are different kinds of safety measures that you can take to protect yourself.
But it's like you're arming this whole little army or big army with all these tools to communicate with the media. I mean, do you think that things have shifted in mainstream media? Do you think that they are more likely to get the dialogue and the discussion around sex work right? Or are they still getting it mostly wrong?
They are still getting it mostly wrong. However, I do think there has been a shift. And this is part of, this is probably part of just my personality, that I consider myself to be a short-term pessimist, which is that I believe that everything in the moment is probably pretty much terrible. However, I do believe that I'm a long-term optimist. So I do think that it's possible to shift things over time. And in the 10 years that I've been involved in this work, I do think things have shifted. And, you know, like increasingly the phrase sex work or sex worker is used in these stories. And that might seem like a small thing, but it means that we do have a little bit more power and there is a little bit more shift happening. But that said, you know, terrible things happen with sex workers in the media every single day, and there's no way to keep track of all of it and to fight all of it. But I think that there are now more people who are armed and ready to, you know, write letters to the editor, write op-eds, complain to their local newspapers when they do something really terrible. And that's part of shifting that tide.
And can you give me an example of some media that got it right? I mean, something where you said, okay, I feel like this was at the very least objective and maybe even positive.
Sure. I mean, there are some strong examples. Actually, last year, so it's not so much an example about having things be positive. It's more about having our words actually reflected as we say them. So, for example, last year, there was this big story about, oh my God, hookers are using Facebook. And it was based on this really terrible, problematic study done by a sociologist at Columbia. And I got contacted by Tracy Clark Flory from Salon, who was doing a piece about it. And, you know, she said, I want you to tell me about why this is terrible, you know, or, you know, why sex workers are using Facebook. And I wrote her back and I said, actually, I think the bigger story is about how this, sociologist completely is misrepresenting us and basically lying about his research. And she went with that. So we were able to steer the conversation in a different direction. And that to me is a really big success to be able to say, no, 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 here's the story. We're the experts. This is the story you should tell. And then to be able to bring in, I think we got like 5 or 10 people who she interviewed, really showed a different side of the story.
That's great. Okay. So we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to hear what Audacia Ray has been up to, including a little direct action at the International AIDS Conference. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it. That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. I want to thank my fabulous sponsor, The Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. We are talking today with sex worker rights advocate and activist Audacia Ray, and we're live, which means we're taking your call. So you can give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788, or go on Twitter and ask a question at Sex Out Loud Radio, or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. So last week was the International AIDS Conference in Washington, D.C., when researchers, medical professionals, service providers, and advocates gathered to discuss the needs and developments in HIV and AIDS policy, treatment, and advocacy. And this year's conference was the first in 22 years to be held in the United States. So it was a pretty big deal. Audacia, you took part in a demonstration to disrupt a special session on the United States Congress and the global AIDS epidemic. Tell me about the direct action and what you were protesting.
Well, so the bigger context of this is that although the reason that the conference has not happened here in 22 years is because people with HIV were banned from coming into the country, and that changed in 2009. However, there's still a ban against people who worked in the sex industry and people who use drugs from coming to the country. So we had a big absence of those community members at the conference. So we were
okay. I have a question right there. So how do they track this stuff? Is like Interpol tracking this for real?
No, I mean, a little bit is on the honor system. Like there were definitely some international sex workers there, but if you have any kind of arrest record for those particular offenses, then your passport can get flagged and you can get stopped at the border.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's kind of an ugly thing. So it meant that the sex worker and drug user contingent was much smaller than normally is at the International AIDS Conference. And so we were protesting that, but we were also protesting this program that's called PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. Now I'm going to say a really strange sentence. This was a really excellent program that George Bush put into place.
Okay, that's weird, but I'll go with you. Keep going.
Right. So basically, like the big contribution that George W. Bush had to the larger community in the world was PEPFAR, because it is the largest source of funding for HIV and AIDS in the world. However, this source of funding has something in it called the Anti-Prostitution Pledge, which means that any organization that accepts this money has to sign a pledge saying that they oppose prostitution. And what that actually looks like is that it means that they cannot provide services to sex workers. They cannot do HIV tests for sex workers. They cannot give them condoms. They can't provide them other social and health services. And as you might know, sex workers are actually at high risk for violence and HIV. So this is totally bass-ackwards thinking. And so basically, we interrupted the session that was led by a senator named Bill Frist, who was one of the major people to create this program, PEPFAR, and the Prostitution Pledge. So we interrupted the session where some senators were having a very polite, very insular conversation about how great the U.S. is and all the wonderful things we've done for AIDS in the world, and to make it clear that actually the U.S. and this program have harmed sex workers around the world, and that we would like the pledge to be gotten rid of.
And one person who was also at that on that panel and at your protest was Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who spoke up what seemed like, you know, from what I saw on your side. Tell me about, she's proposing a bill that would change PEPFAR.
Yes. So PEPFAR gets reauthorized every couple of years, and that's an opportunity for it to be rewritten. But Barbara Lee, Representative Barbara Lee, is has proposed a bill just a couple weeks ago that would get rid of the prostitution pledge, which would be fantastic. So, you know, actually at the protest, like, we were aware of that because she had told us about that earlier in the week. And so during the protest, we were chanting things like, repeal the pledge, change PEPFAR. But then when, you know, she spoke up a little bit in support of us without actually naming us. And then she had to leave. And as she was leaving, we were all chanting, we love Barbara Lee. So just to show that we weren't protesting her and her involvement, but the larger problem and the larger system.
Now, I understand the greater stigma around sex work, but how did this anti-prostitution pledge get into the law to begin with? I mean, who brought that up?
I mean, the U.S. has had quite a history of making bad policies that impact at-risk populations. So basically, it's a thing where the U.S. wants to control stuff around trafficking and also conflates trafficking and prostitution. So it wants to make sure that the organizations that the U.S. funds are not promoting trafficking. And also the U.S., for some reason, believes that it's the U.S.'s business to make sure that other places don't legalize prostitution. And that's part of the pledge as well. So it's just like a backhanded way of controlling the way other countries run their politics.
Oh, which is so American of us, right?
Yes, indeed.
Now, speaking of legalizing, do you support legalizing all sex work or do you support decriminalizing? And maybe back that up and first tell us what the difference is.
So these things might seem like they're basically the same thing, but the way that activists talk about them is very different. So legalizing prostitution would basically mean that laws would be put into place to regulate the system of prostitution and other kinds of sex work. Generally, when you talk about legalizing sex work or decriminalizing sex work, it's specifically about prostitution because that's the main job that's made illegal in lots of places. And the difference or the comparison with decriminalization is basically just getting rid of the bad laws that impact sex workers, impact prostitutes. My opinion is somewhere in between. Most people who have the kind of the human rights perspective on this are very outspoken about decriminalization and see that as the way forward. But I think that in reality, in any kind of workplace, that there are going to be laws that regulate the way work is done and how workers can stay safe. And so I don't necessarily think that the idea of just saying, poof, decriminalized, let's go forward from here is ever going to be a reality. I think what needs to happen is that we have to chip away at the individual bad laws, and start to construct better laws out of what we already have, which is a incredibly frustrating process. But is something that I think is what has to happen for us here in the United States. And the reason for that is basically because prostitution is part of criminal code in the U.S., which means that it's regulated on a state level. So, for example, here in New York, one of the things that a couple of really great groups worked on a couple of years ago was to make it possible for people who had been trafficked, that is, you know, pushed into prostitution against their will and arrested and booked as prostitutes and had a prostitution record, can get their records expunged. So that will enable them to go forward and get jobs and get housing and, you know, hopefully regain custody of their children if they have them without having to tell the world that they were arrested as a prostitute. So to me, that's what decriminalization can actually look like. It's chipping away at these bad laws that really make our lives miserable.
Now, I also read online that one of the things that really affects sex workers is that there are some outreach organizations that are able to do testing, to do needle exchange, to do counseling, and to give them free condoms, to actually distribute condoms. But is it correct that someone could be arrested and if they have condoms with them, that be used as evidence against them?
Yes. This is something that's widespread in lots of different places. There's a study by Human Rights Watch that covered New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C., where this is an issue. And it's also an issue in a lot of international cities, particularly in Africa. And here in New York, we've been organizing around it because basically there are kind of a couple different ways that this can happen. But when people are stopped and frisked for essentially, you know, either walking while trans or loitering while being a person of color, they get searched. And if they are carrying condoms, the police either confiscate and destroy the condoms and, you know, are total jackasses about it, or they arrest the person for prostitution or for the New York State. One of the ways that people get arrested in New York State is for a crime called loitering for the purposes of prostitution. And then they get the condoms used against them as evidence later in court.
That is just so problematic. And so have you made inroads in getting this changed and fixed?
Yeah, I mean, so we have this bill that has been introduced over the past couple legislative sessions in New York State that would make it illegal for condoms to be used as evidence. And this past year, we had the most success with it that we've ever had, which is that a coalition of sex worker and harm reduction and HIV organizations in New York organized a lobby day where we went to Albany and spoke with legislators about this bill, which is a really historic thing, actually, for sex workers to sit in front of legislators and say, hi, I'm a sex worker, and this is how this has impacted me. So that was a pretty amazing thing. And we also got like the New York Times and the Spanish language paper El Diario both wrote editorials, like the newspaper itself, saying that this bill should be passed. The bill, however, did not pass. And hopefully will in coming sessions. But I think we built a lot of power for it, especially because there are now three different research studies on this issue. So that's further evidence that actually supports our claim. But one of the frustrating things is that a bunch of legislators told us that if the bill goes to the floor, they will vote for it. However, they will not advocate for it to pass before that. So And the reason is specifically because they don't want to be associated with supporting prostitution.
Right, of course. Okay, so I want to hear more about this and also your thoughts on the new condom laws in Los Angeles for the porn industry. So that will be coming up after the break. But first, a word from our fabulous sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. My guest today is the founder of the Red Umbrella Project, Audacia Ray. And we're live taking your calls. So if you have a question or comment for me, for Audacia, if you want to talk about sex workers' rights and activism, give us a call at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. So before the break, we were talking about some of these problematic laws that actually don't serve any sex workers. And I'm wondering what your take on what's going on in LA is, which is that the LA City Council recently passed a law which mandates condom use in the porn industry in Los Angeles, and it's going to go on the ballot to potentially be a statewide policy. What are your thoughts about it?
So my opinion on this has actually shifted a bit over the past couple of years. When the issue of condoms and porn and enforcing safety measures within the porn industry first came up, I was really gung-ho about ensuring I am still gung-ho about ensuring the health and safety of porn workers. But I think the way that has been handled as now it's going to become law in California is really problematic. So I personally think that it is really important for, people who work in porn to have the option to use condoms and like the option in a real way, not in a like pressured to not use condoms so they can make more money kind of way. But I don't think that the California government should be enforcing that.
I mean, you know, because I work in the porn industry, also have like a lot of mixed feelings about this issue. And one of the things that is so familiar is that they never asked any of the porn performers what they wanted to do. And these porn performers would show up to hearings. They would say, I'm available to testify. I will publicly go on the record with my real name, but I want to tell you how this is going to impact my work. And the city council really could care less. I mean, they didn't have any input at all from the performers themselves, which I feel like is a recurring theme here with sex workers, which is that the government is going to protect them and tell them what they need without actually asking them what would make your job easier, safer, better.
Right. Or, you know, actually listening to them a little bit and then being like, yeah, you're wrong about your experience. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. That's another one.
Sort of the problem. But I think one of the things that came up for me, though, is that, you know, there are obviously like a bunch of different kind of tiers of porn. There's, you know, the like porn star level. And then there's a lot of people who sort of drift in and out of the industry and do a couple scenes here and there who might not have a lot of autonomy about whether or not they can choose to use condoms. So one of my concerns was also that a lot of the like very major porn stars are speaking out and saying, no, we don't want mandatory condoms, but they have a lot more control over their working circumstances. And then there are folks who might have less control who might want to lean on something like that they can, you know, call that into question when, you know, they're being asked to perform without condoms. So it's tricky. But I definitely agree with you that the performers are the experts and they should be consulted, and without meaningful consultation with the workers, it's a ridiculous law.
Right. And it's one that may in fact get passed, because I think, you know, first of all, they let everyone in California vote on pretty much everything, which is an interesting, you know, there's like always like 150 propositions. You have to like educate yourself. And the thing is, on the surface, I feel like it looks like, oh, wait, this is going to protect sex workers. I want to do that. So I think even liberals will look at it in the booth and may not be educated about it and vote for it and not realize the complexities of the issues. And there are some people doing some great activism around this, and there's certainly a lot of good online activism, but I just don't know if it's going to get the word out or if this is actually going to pass.
Right. But then, you know, the other piece of it is like, how do they say that they're going to enforce this?
Right, right. You know, well, no, they've already admitted that they can't. I mean, they can show up and they can check your permits, but it's a huge job. And,
sure.
You know, they don't really have any mechanisms to do it at all.
I mean, particularly in the sex industry, the gap between policy and implementation is huge. I mean, ridiculously huge. It's like, how do you police this? It's ridiculous.
Right. And interestingly, what you just said, I think might happen again, which is that the very big companies who are under the microscope, who have a lot to lose, companies like Vivid, the one I work for, will follow all the rules to the letter. Because they don't want to be sued and they are sort of, but these smaller companies and these kind of fly by night ones won't. And again, I think then someone who has the pull of being like a Vivid girl can say, I'm working only with condoms, but someone who's just entered the industry and is doing some sort of webcam thing won't necessarily have that protection because those sort of smaller pornographers are flying under the radar.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's similar to what you said about who has power.
People who don't have much power.
Right.
Yay.
You know, what are some of the most critical issues facing sex workers in the United States today? I know that question sounds insane. Like it's just, sure. There's your softball, like go, but tell me about some of these crucial issues.
So I really think that in general, housing, employment, education, those are major issues that impact all populations that are struggling with economics and health and stuff like that. And so those are things that definitely impact people in the sex industry. But I think that, and this is of course colored by how I do my work, I think that the lack of representation and the lack of people feeling connected to a greater community of folks who've had the same experience. So, you know, the stigma and discrimination that creates is a really big problem. And that's, you know, that's a kind of a hard to handle kind of thing because it's not like you can make a law that will make that go away. But I think that's a really big, very basic issue that impacts people. And that said, the different ways in which sex work is criminalized really alienates workers from their ability to organize, from their ability to take better care of themselves and their families, and to speak out about what's happening to them because they, you know, everybody lives in fear of what could happen to them if they got arrested or how if they go forward with an issue, even if their job isn't illegal, that they're not going to get any traction on it. I mean, you see that kind of thing all the time. Like occasionally a sex worker will come forward and, you know, try to prosecute somebody for rape and, it doesn't work out very well on a pretty consistent basis. So that's really difficult.
You know, another thing I see in the news a lot is, that the issue of trafficking has become really big and it's like a hot button issue that everyone likes to stand up and say, oh my God, trafficking. And of course we're all against trafficking, but I have a question. Linda F on Facebook says, what are some nonprofits that don't conflate trafficking with prostitution?
So there's sort of two different kinds of nonprofits that work in this area, which includes nonprofits that provide direct services and nonprofits that talk a lot and may or may not do policy stuff, but do a lot of public awareness raising kind of stuff. I'm most interested in organizations that actually work directly with people who are in the sex industry. And there are some really good ones that don't conflate trafficking and prostitution. In San Francisco, there's an organization called the St. James Infirmary, which is a health clinic run by and for sex workers. That's a really incredible organization. In DC, there's an organization called HIPS, which is helping individual prostitutes survive. They also provide direct services. And here in New York, there's an org that's been around for 10 years that does slightly different kind of direct services. That's called the Sex Workers Project. And they provide legal and social services to sex workers and people who have been trafficked. So what's interesting about them is that they work with both people who are in the sex industry fully by their own choice and people who work in the sex industry who were coerced into it, as well as the people who are kind of in that gray area in between. And they provide legal services to represent them in court, which is really pretty incredible because it shows the ways that they try to tease out the difference between trafficking and sex work and help their clients to actually move forward with their lives.
Okay, those are all good resources, and we're going to put them online at sexoutloudradio.com under episode resources. So we will get all the links up to those organizations. We are going to take another break to hear from our great sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample, find out how at astroglide.com. Stay with us. When we come back, we are going to talk about Audacia's controversial comments at a recent conference and why she believes sex-positive feminism has failed sex workers. And you can join the conversation. Call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. My guest today is sex worker rights activist Audacia Ray. And we're live. This is your final chance to call us, 866-472-5788. So you were part of the opening keynote panel at the Momentum Conference in April of this year, and you made some provocative comments and a pretty specific critique of sex-positive feminism, especially as it relates to sex workers. And an expanded version of that presentation actually appears in the Momentum anthology, and we'll have links to all that online. You say you no longer consider yourself a sex-positive feminist. Why?
So it's definitely an evolving thing. Like, sex positive feminism for me was really the ground, the basis on which everything stood on. And, that's shifted over the past couple of years, mainly because of critiques that have been lobbied at sex positive feminism, particularly by people of color and transgender women, and people who've had maybe less wonderful experiences in the sex industry. And I feel like there's this kind of large gap between people who identify as sex positive and want to see sex and also sex work portrayed in a positive light, and the real experiences of many people in the sex industry for whom sex is often much more complicated and not necessarily always positive. So I think for sex positive feminism to do what it really strives to do, it needs to also include negative experiences of people who have experienced sex in problematic ways or who've traded sex for things that they need. And so that has led me to question sex positive feminists as my own identity, and has kind of led me to stray from it. And so now I'm less interested in the words I use to identify myself and more interested in trying to ensure that I do and support work that really promotes the voices and the needs of people who are made most vulnerable by the sex industry. And there's definitely a class and race and gender gaps between that experience and people who identify as sex positive feminists.
And do you think, though, there's room to have these two conversations, the conversation of the sort of privileged, usually educated, usually white, usually cisgendered sex worker who feels really good about their choice to do sex work and actually takes pleasure in it, while also talking about people who feel pressured, who feel coerced, or who are in a different economic reality, quite frankly, and have a lot less options? Is there a way to hold those two together in the same conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the title of my talk, you know, Why Sex Positive Feminism is Bad for Sex Workers, is a totally inflammatory title. And I totally recognize that. And it was a way of getting people to engage in this conversation in a way that might upset them and might make them angry at me. So I sort of knew that going in. And really wanted people to look at and examine this issue. And I don't think that they're opposites in any way, but I think that there's been this sort of artificial way in which the choice between, you know, if you're a sex worker, the two choices of how to represent your experience are basically like, yay, liberated, happy hooker versus totally exploited, miserable, want to get out. And I think that the reality is really in between, and that those groups of people can talk to each other and should be talking to each other. And so that, I don't think that sex positive feminism is dead and should be discounted and people should stop calling themselves that and throw it away. I think that people need to engage more critically with their own worldview and look at the ways in which it might do harm to other people or exclude other people. And that's really what I'm asking for people to do, not to abandon sex positive feminism as an idea.
And so all those qualifiers I gave for a certain class of sex workers could apply to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
So I wonder how you personally reconcile, working in an activist movement, wanting to give voice to other kinds of folks, but you may be having access to things like mainstream media because of the way you look, because of the way you speak. How do you not beat yourself up about that as an activist?
Well, I think I probably do beat myself up about it. And I think that it's a process of keeping aware of who you are, what kind of impact that has in the world. And sometimes it's useful to use those things for good. And other times, you have to step out of the way. And that's really where I'm at right now, where it's, you know, every interaction I have with mainstream media, or, you know, as like a spokesperson or whatever, I always think, am I really the best person to speak on this? Is there somebody else who could do this and represent a different viewpoint? Or is there a good reason for me to be the voice for this, because maybe I'll be heard a little bit better? And that's a difficult thing. And, you know, I'm sure I make misjudgments on that all the time. So it's definitely an ongoing process.
Tell me about what new projects you're working on, because I know you have a lot going on with the Red Umbrella Project. So what's in the future coming up?
So this year, I've been really excited to start actually getting grants for the work of the Red Umbrella Project, which means that we're expanding our programming, which is awesome. So upcoming, we did a successful Kickstarter campaign this past spring for a book called Cooking in Heels by this really amazing woman, Kyan Dorisho, who's a Brooklyn-based woman who's Black and trans and has had very difficult experiences being both those things and being in the sex industry. And she's also an amazing chef. So we're working on a cookbook slash memoir that will be out in early October. We are also working on launching our first 8-week-long free writing workshop that will take place here in New York. The class sessions will actually be held at the New School. And the deadline for that is coming up next week on August 9th. And because we've gotten so much interest in that, we're also going to be doing free monthly storytelling workshops to kind of support people who want to perform at Red Umbrella Diaries, but haven't told their story in public before. We have a media training that will be coming up in October. That'll be our first big weekend long training this year. And then we'll be starting to organize for the next round of working on the condoms as evidence legislation. And we have a couple of other new projects that I can't quite reveal yet, but.
We're not even going to get an exclusive, a Sex Out Loud exclusive.
No, because I don't like talking about things until I actually know what they are.
I have that same superstition. Don't worry. I'm teasing you. Well, thank you so much for the work that you do in the world. And thank you so much for being on the show, Audacia. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. Thanks so much.
You can find out all about all those things that Audacia talked about and more at redumbrellaproject.org and more about Audacia at audaciaray.com. Follow Audacia on Twitter at Audacia Ray and follow the organization at Red Umbrella PROJ, which is sort of half of project. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week when my guest will be writer, blogger, performer, and BDSM educator Molina Williams. And we'll be talking about kink and fantasy role play, including race play and other taboos in BDSM communities. You don't want to miss this one. It is sure to be a conversation starter. And Molina is an incredible, incredible writer. She has 2 chapters in my book, The Ultimate Guide to Kink. And we're going to talk about what everyone doesn't want to talk about in the kink community. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.